God's grace, mercy, and peace are yours in Christ. Amen. Friends, where is your head at these days? Where's your head at in this crazy year, 2020? I don't need to tell you, it's been a crazy year so far. I probably don't need to tell you that the way things look, it doesn't look like this year is letting up much. A virus that has upended our way of life and our livelihoods, that for some of us even has taken loved ones from us. And then there was the protesting, the rioting, the looting, and of course, the toilet paper hoarding, which we're having another spike of that, I hear. A contested election with allegations of widespread fraud and corruption. And across the world, Christians are being persecuted and killed for their faith in countries like Ethiopia and Nigeria. Every week, Christians are dying for their faith in countries in Africa. In China, steeples have fallen this year. Christian church steeples literally have fallen. Christians in China have been arrested in their homes for worshiping Jesus in their homes. Maybe you have other things you might add to this list that makes up a crazy year for you. Where is your head at this year? Maybe you're feeling somewhat discouraged by the state of affairs in our world and in our country. Maybe you're feeling even a little afraid. Jesus promised that we would have trouble in this life. And in fact, he even gave us a list of things that we should look for as signs of the times, signs of the end times, signs that remind us that Jesus is coming back soon. He gave us a list that Matthew recorded in chapter 24 of his gospel. I'll just share a few of those things with you now. Here's some of those things Jesus told us we would see and experience. Wars, rumors of wars, political upheaval, natural disasters, Christians being persecuted and killed for their faith, false prophets in the church, hearts that grow cold to God's word. I think it's safe to say that in 2020, we've checked all those boxes off and more. Where's your head at in 2020? Now, maybe some of us, it's not surprising, and for us, it's kind of a natural thing that many of us have had a difficult time this year. It's not surprising that we might have some apprehension about the weeks and the months that still lie ahead. There's a lot of uncertainty in our world right now. Friends, I have an awesome passage from God's Word to share with you today. It's a song. It's a psalm, Psalm 47. And it's my hope and it's my prayer that this psalm will be a blessing to you today, no matter where your head is at right now. As I read it, take note, page 8, if you're following along, there's little bracketed headings that I put there to show the structure of the psalm. So there's two different sections or lines that are invitations to praise God, who is our King, who rules over all things. There's two sections separated. After each of those sections is the reasons why we should praise God, our King. So first, that first section, that invitation to praise God. Clap your hands, all you nations. Shout to God with cries of joy. Now the first reason to sing praises to our King. For the Lord Most High is awesome, the great King over all the earth. He subdued nations under us, peoples under our feet. He chose our inheritance for us, the pride of Jacob, whom he loved. God has ascended amid shouts of joy, the Lord amid sounding of trumpets. And if you look at page 9, I've summarized each of these sections. This is part 1. This section here, you can summarize these reasons. Why? Why should we praise God our King? Because God our King is the Most High Conqueror. That's how we might summarize this. And then comes the next invitation to praise God, our King. Sing praises to God. Sing praises. Sing praises to our King. Sing praises. And now the second reason why we should sing praises to God. For God is the King of all the earth. Sing to Him. Is that right? Yes, it is. Nope. Am I behind one? I am. There we go. For God is the King of all the earth. Sing to Him a psalm of praise. God reigns over the nations. God is seated on His holy throne. The nobles of the nations assemble as the people of the God of Abraham. For the kings of the earth belong to God. He is greatly exalted. And the second section we might summarize this way. Why? Why should we praise God, our King? Because He is the great, the most high ruler. Does this help, friends? Does this psalm give you some comfort, some confidence in the face of, and in the midst of a crazy year? Does it settle your fears at all? To hear that the Lord is the Most High God, that He is the King over all the earth. I hope it does. Does it help? To hear that God has subdued the nations under your feet. I hope that helps. God is the Most High Conqueror. And here's what that means. That means that there's no king, no ruler, no president, no government, no nation on this earth that can or ever will defeat God, our King. Does that help? I hope it does. Does it help to hear that God is seated on His holy throne? That God is reigning over the nations and that all the kings of the earth belong to our God? I hope that helps. God is the most high ruler. And here's what that means. That means there's no king, no ruler, no president, no government, no nation on the face of this earth that does or ever will wield as much power as God, our King. Does that help with where your head may be at in a year like 2020? I hope it does. These are awesome reasons for us to praise God as our King. In a year where we feel like our head may be in the wrong place, just out of sorts, these are some wonderful promises for us to cling to. Let me ask you this, though. Are you maybe thinking to yourself, yeah, that helps, Pastor. What else you got for me? Are you maybe thinking to yourself, okay, I hear you. God is seated on His throne. I hear you. God is in control. I hear you. God works all things out for the good of those who love Him. I hear you. But it feels a little bit like a small consolation right now where my head is at. Are you thinking to yourself, if God is wielding all power and authority over all kings and kingdoms on this earth, why does it feel like He's holding back? If God, as the psalm says, is subduing nations under my feet, why do I feel like I'm the one being trampled underfoot right now? Maybe are you thinking to yourself, I can't see my family members right now. I can't go the places I want to go. I can't worship the way that I am accustomed to worshiping. I can't work my job like I'm used to working my job. I'm scared about the direction our country is going. I'm scared what the future holds for my kids and my grandkids. Are you maybe thinking or feeling right now, it's hard. It's hard for me to heed the words of this psalm, which tells me to clap my hands and applaud God, my King, and to sing these songs of joy to Him when my head is where it is at right now. Pastor, What else you got for me? True confessions time. I have felt the same way, on and off, throughout this year. And when I hear people say, and when I read an article or a devotional that says, why are we wringing our hands in worry? God's got this. God's in control. God's ruling over all things. I have to admit, sometimes those words still ring a little bit hollow. I know they're true. And yes, there's comfort there. Yes, it helps. Ultimately, it helps to know that in the grand scheme of things, God has this. And in the grand scheme of history and time, God will one day usher us to heaven to be freed from all of this. I know that, and that helps, and that is of great consolation. But why then is this feeling in me like I need something more? Like I want to say, what else you got for me? Can I share with you what I have learned from Psalm 47? Here's what I've learned. My head is not in the right place. Thank you, Pastor Obvious. It's true. That's just it. My head is in the wrong place. God's head is in the right place. God's head is in heaven. His head is on heavenly things. His head is in the right place. His head has the long game in mind. More precisely, his head has the spiritual game in mind. My head is stuck on earth. My head has earthly things in mind. My head has the earthly game in mind. My friends, Psalm 47 is not about earthly things. Sure, it may point back in history to some military victory the Lord gave Israel. It may point back in history to that time when David restored the ark to Jerusalem after it had been gone for some time, and there were shouts of joy and singing and even dancing. But ultimately, Psalm 47 has its ultimate fulfillment in spiritual things. Okay, Pastor. How does Psalm 47 then help me right now in the here and now on earth in the midst of a year like we're in? Well, Psalm 47 wants to put our heads in the right place. It wants to realign our priorities to God's priorities, the priorities of God, our King. Psalm 47 wants to make God's fight our fight. Because God's fight is on a whole other realm. It's literally in a whole other place. It's in the spiritual realm. God's fight is a spiritual fight. God's fight is a spiritual one that is a fight for souls. Because here's the thing about souls. Souls are eternal. Souls live forever in one place or the other, in heaven or hell. But bodies are temporary. Human lifespans are relatively short-lived. Earthly governments, they're here today, and they're gone tomorrow. But God's fight is eternal. And God's fight is a spiritual one for the eternal souls. He is focused on the long game. God, our King, is focused on the soul's game. This is his fight. This is his highest priority. And he wants that fight to be our fight too. So, when God, our King, permits a natural disaster into our world, The devil may smile, but God laughs at him. And he uses that natural disaster to bring many souls to faith in him. And when God opens a door for the gospel in countries like Nigeria and Ethiopia and China, he is, in the spiritual realm, subduing nations under the feet of Christians and his church. Even though there is great persecution there, even though Christians may be dying for Christ there, he is subduing those nations under our feet. And when God, our King, puts one ruler in place in the world and puts another out of place in the world, when he raises up one and puts down another, God, our King, is fighting in his own mysterious way, in his own perfect way, for eternal souls. And so when it feels like God is sitting on his hands, and when it feels like God is holding back, he is not. It is just that we are watching the wrong fight. We are expecting him to fight the wrong fight. But God's fight is a spiritual one. In my fight for personal peace and security and safety and comfort, I have often put myself in the center of this world. Like a wannabe king in a wannabe kingdom. A little god in my own little world. But in God's fight, souls are at the center of his world. In God's fight, he is at the top of the world. And he doesn't have to fight to be there. He doesn't have to fight to stay there. He already is there. He has defeated his enemies. He is the Lord Most High. And his enemies are our enemies. When Jesus came into this world, the Jews expected the coming Messiah to be this conquering king, this warrior king who would drive out the Romans and set up this earthly kingdom forever. Their heads were not in the right place. They were fighting the wrong fight. They were expecting the wrong fight. The wrong king. But Jesus' fight was a spiritual one. His kingdom, a spiritual one, not an earthly one. They wanted an earthly king. They wanted a warrior. They wanted an earthly kingdom. They didn't want a martyr. They didn't want a sacrificial lamb. They didn't want a suffering servant. But that's Jesus' fight. His fight for souls. His fight for an eternal spiritual kingdom. That was the fight that he fought and was the fight that he won. And he knew all along. He knew the whole time they were expecting the wrong kind of fight, the wrong kind of king. And he knew all along that we would do the same. He knew it, that we would want him to fight a different kind of fight, that we would want him to be a different kind of king. That we would enthrone ourselves as wannabe kings and wannabe kingdoms and little gods over our own little worlds. He knew it. But he fought for us anyway. He fought for our souls anyway. And he won. He defeated our enemies. He defeated our enemy of sin by welcoming the punishment of our sins onto himself. He defeated the devil by stripping the devil of his power to condemn us and to enslave us. He defeated death by raising himself back to life. This was his fight. That was the real fight that he came to fight and to win. This is the fight we needed him to fight. Thank God, praise God that he didn't come to be the king we wanted him to be. Praise God that he didn't fight the fight we wanted him to fight. that even though I enthrone myself over my own little life at times, he still made me his own and called me to be a part of his everlasting kingdom. Praise God. Is there any greater reason to praise God than that, than this fight of Christ our King and this victory that has made us his own? And now, his fight is our fight. My King's ultimate priorities are now my ultimate priorities. And his priority is the eternal salvation of souls. And there's two implications that I want to wrap this up with, to share with you of this matter that Christ's fight becomes my fight. There's two ways that this affects us. The first implication has to do with our minds, with our heads and our hearts. And the second implication has to do with our bodies. So first, this implication that Christ's fight is my fight. It's this. When Christ's priorities become my priorities, when his fight becomes my fight, then my head is in the right place. And here's what happens. All earthly kingdoms fade into the background. The priority becomes eternal souls. The priority becomes Christ's spiritual kingdom. The kingdom that is spread throughout this world by his gospel. Now, that doesn't mean that earthly matters become insignificant, that they don't matter. It doesn't mean that I totally ignore, you know, the affairs of this world. No. I can grieve in the face of earthly loss. And I can become justly angry in the face of earthly injustice. And I can shed tears of lament in the face of earthly calamity. I can and I should. But when Christ's priorities become my priorities, and my head is in the right place, then all these earthly matters find their proper place behind Christ's kingdom, behind Christ's fight, behind Christ's eternal souls that he wants to gather into his kingdom of grace. This is the implication for our heads, for our minds, that puts our heads in the right place. It's as if our heads become divorced from our bodies and they suddenly reside in heaven. And Paul speaks that way in Ephesians. He says, we already are seated with Christ in heaven, in the heavenly realms, as if we're watching everything from his perspective. Our heads are in the right place. And there is great peace to be had in that. And yet our bodies are still here on earth. And so the implication then for our bodies is this. As Psalm 47 says, Jesus has subdued the nations under our feet, under the feet of Christians and his church. He has granted us an inheritance of souls across the globe through the gospel that is spread to every nation. He has sent us out into the world. And he has not sent us out powerless. He who has all power in heaven and on earth and under the earth is the one who sends us out. And so under his reign, we have every right and every power and every duty to gather eternal souls into his kingdom of grace. And we have the privilege to call them to know him by faith. We have the privilege to call them to sing his praises like we sing his praises. And there are great reasons to sing God's praises. As we fight his fight, and as we carry his gospel to the corners of the world. And my friends, the fight continues. When I shared with you that list of the signs of the end times from Matthew 24, I left one sign out. I wanted to save it for the end. What else is a sign of the end times, a sign that Jesus is coming again? It's this. Jesus says, "And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations. And then the end will come. And then Christ's eternal kingdom will be established forever and ever. And then we will sing Psalm 47 in its ultimate fulfillment. God is the Most High Conqueror. God is the Most High Ruler, and His fight is my fight." Amen.